At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
From a competition to a pleasure run and all the stops in between, we cover it all here at Coon Hunting Media.
Welcome back to another episode of the Coon Hunt Media Podcast. We got all the guys here. We're going to sit around and talk about what's been going on and everything. But first off, I guess Jason's going to start us out with the verse of the week.
Jason just found out he was going to do verse of the week. So we are going to do a short one.
To share the wealth.
So what we'll do is we'll do a short one tonight. We're going to do St. John chapter 14, verse 15. And it's very simple. It's a commandment of Jesus. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We can take that into all aspects of our life. So if we do that, treat others well and so forth, and live a life that's pleasing to him, it's in everything. It's not just some things. That's how we need to just conduct ourselves in all things. If you are looking for a reliable, safe, clean, and comfortable transporter for your dog, then you need to contact Muddy River Transport. They offer a premium dog hauling experience where your dog's safety and comfort are top priority, and they will go above and beyond the competition. They use their advanced ozone treatment and sterilization machine to thoroughly clean their van at the completion of each run. You can rest assured that your dog will be traveling in an environment that is clean, safe, and hygienic. Their van is climate controlled. All kennel spaces are comfortable, spacious, safe, and secure. Your dog will be comfortable and stress-free during transport. The drivers that will be moving your dog are trained professionals with lots of experience in this field. They are friendly and dedicated that your dog's safety and comfort are top priority throughout their trip. Communication is top-notch. You can rest assured that you will get route updates, dog check-ins, and projected times of arrival, all while taking into consideration your busy schedule. If you are looking for a transport option for your dog and want a stress-free experience with the confidence that your dog will be in a clean, safe, hygienic environment, then call Muddy River Transport today to give your dog the best ride of their life. They believe their customers' dogs deserve to be treated as if they were their own. They are not just dog haulers, they are active houndsmen. They hunt just like you do and participate in all the major events. Remember the mission statement: travel safe, travel clean, travel comfortable. Every trip, every time with Muddy River Transport. Contact us on Facebook at Muddy River Transport Group or call 1-402-274-7558.
Coon Hunting Media is proudly sponsored by Little T Squatters. Them are the words every competition hunter loves to hear. Your winning coon has just been found. Little T Squatters, owned and designed by Tim Tempton, has set the bar for high quality, dependable, and unmatched performance. From pleasure hunters to extreme competitors, he covers it all with his five elite models. Original Little T, the Triple Threat, the Double Shot, the Pro Series, and the newly designed Bell Ringer. If you want to enter the woods with confidence, contact his office at 423-562-5333 and become elite.
Saddle Up Canine Cryo is owned by Mr. Bill Scheninger. Bill is located in Delta, Ohio. Don't miss out on the opportunity to keep that special stud dog forever. His services include semen collection, freezing, side-by-side shipping, and semen storage. Bill is also the owner of one of the best-known plot kennels in the country, Saddle Up Plots. Saddle Up Plots is home to UKC, PKC, AKC, WTDA, Grand Knight Champion, PR Saddle Up Lazarus. Lazarus accomplished the following accolades in 2021. He was UKC World Champ Plot, Plot Days Isaiah Kid Winner, Purina Breed Winner, Autumn Oaks Breed Champion, APA Breed Days Winner. Fresh chilled and frozen semen is available. Contact Bill directly for all pricing and services information for Canine Cryo and Saddle Up Plots. Bill's phone number is 419-467-7689. Saddle Up Plots, making plots rise again.
So now we're
in session, I guess.
So let's see here. Let me get my alarm clock or my stopwatch. I'm ready. We all ready?
Yeah, we're rolling.
All right, boys. What we're talking about tonight, since it's just us, we did have multiple interviews lined up at the Winter Classic, and very, very glad that Mr. Bill did his with us, but we. The other one that we had lined up, our guy couldn't make it, so we need to fill some time with us sitting around shooting the bull at my house. So what we want to talk about?
We're starting out with Winter Classic.
Might as well
jump right on
it. Work.
So let's talk about our Winter Classic trip. We're not too far removed from that. That's not been too long ago. How did that trip start? The boys went down earlier. Half of y'all did. And
slept rough.
I went to the Pyramid. That was great.
Yeah, Stacy made a stop. Next thing we know, he's over at Bass Pro. Thought he was going to spend a couple of days there instead of coming on.
That was one of our roughest drives I've ever had.
Why is that?
Man, Hudson didn't sleep for a day. And then we slept in the truck
actually,
in the Civic Center parking lot.
But actually, that was right after they went to Illinois, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, for the boys.
Oh, yeah. So Colin, we drove 1,000 miles and... Three days.
So, Kyle and Hudson, you went up to Illinois what day?
Monday.
Monday night. You guys hunted a couple nights there.
Monday night, Tuesday night. Hunted all night on Tuesday. Came home Wednesday morning. Got our bags packed, jumped in the truck, and drove down to Mississippi.
That is true. So, you boys were... we were having to watch you on Live 360 quite a bit to make sure you're staying safe because you did burn the roads up.
Oh, yeah.
So they and then ended up sleeping in the parking lot after you got, but you were there on time. You got set up on time.
Well, they sent us some pictures and it looked like a homeless camp.
That is true.
They had shirts hung on the windows and across the dashboard and everything else. I was like, well,
we got there, it was daylight and we're tired and we're like, we can't sleep in the daylight. We gotta get some type of rest. So we're just hanging.
It was sticking
hoodies in the window and rolling the windows up, putting the.
Yeah, it looked like a homeless camp. That's what I told them. They sent us. We got a group message.
Hudson had his feet hanging out the window.
And they sent me some pictures, and I turned them back. I said, "What homeless camp y'all in?"
But now we did have a really good time at the Winter Classic. So they got down there. Johnny did a very good job finding our house this year. So that was we were a little bit worried because we've had a really good place. We rented the same house multiple years.
Yeah.
And that joker sold it on us. We couldn't rent it this year.
Yeah, I messaged him. I said, "Hey, man, what about your house?" And he said, "Nah."
But I had no stink bug this year.
That is true.
I was vacuuming up.
Well, the stink bugs was in Ohio.
Ohio's where you're always vacuuming stink bugs.
That is, ain't you? You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's the place where we wake up at 4 in the morning and you're out there walking around in your underwear and a vacuum cleaner.
We should have called him. His name should have been Hoover.
But this house was really good. So you were...
Nice
house. It wasn't on the lake. It was that whatever that's called right below Sardis Lake, that little reservoir.
River. Spillway River.
But it's below the dam.
It's called Lower Sardis. It was Lower Lake.
Yeah. Lower Sardis. Okay. Lower Sardis. So then we were up on the river of that, and it was really nice. I would feel sorry for the people that actually live up there because that entire road down through there was rented out by coon hunters. There was more coon hounds up there barking on that road than any place you could find.
It was pretty much like a trailer park.
But it was nice.
But it was nice trailer park. It was nice.
And every one of them
were nice.
And I got right a fish every day.
Yes, the house.
I didn't catch nothing but fish.
The house, literally, the deck went right out over the water. And then you move into, it's February. We weren't ready for this. What did you boys see down there as soon as you got there?
Snakes.
Yeah. Right at the house.
And the neighbor told us to watch rattlesnakes, rivers.
Yeah, so that's all the information we got. I didn't like none of that part. But
no, I didn't care none. No. I'm out.
And I think that one that you guys sent a picture of, that one boy said it was a water snake, but I'm going to stick with the story that's a cottonmouth.
As long as it's far enough away from me, I don't care what it is.
So, but then...
And the neighbor come over and shows his dog.
That was a cool dog.
That was cool. That was the dog.
That was one of the most disciplined dogs I've ever seen.
Search and rescue dog, and that was amazing.
But what did he tell us that dog was certified in? It, and what breed was that? It was,
I don't know what breed it was. It was some no type German of Shepherd, nothing like that.
No, it was a European bred dog. But what did he tell us? He went through all this certification. I mean, he worked with FBI.
Oh yeah, that dog's got like a doctorate degree.
Yeah,
I mean really.
But he said he could go into destructive places like
bombs.
He'd go in any of that, and the dog will not move until it's on command. It'll find, and then it'll stay with what it's found. He said it was just amazing what it's trained.
He can lay his jacket down. He'll lay 8 hours and never move.
Yes.
To the last certification got, et cetera, 8 hours.
But he brought that dog over to us, and we had how many coon hounds there tied up? Five, six?
Yeah.
And it was behaving better than,
it wouldn't even look
than
at
any
him.
Human. Wouldn't pay him attention. It done just everything he wanted to do. So that was pretty well amazing just to watch it. But then when we were heading down, you all went down, then me and Johnny come down later. So, Johnny, you tell us.
The real accomplishment was Johnny making it as fast as he did.
Yeah, tell him how much.
Because we drove in the middle of the night, no traffic, nothing. We met him, how long did it take us to get there? Six hours?
It was 6 hours and something.
Every bit of it.
Yeah.
Johnny made it in like four in the middle of the day, four and a half.
It wasn't four, but
more toward five.
But we did not. You and I did not stop. We stopped at Arby's in Cookville.
He still shaved an hour.
Yeah, we stopped in Cookville at Arby's, and I remember we was checking the receipt to see what kind of time we made, and we never pulled over again until we met you guys at the house, or at the restaurant.
Yeah, we met at that restaurant. I don't know what the name of that restaurant is. I forget it.
Locks.
Locks.
Seafood and Fish House or
Seafood and Steak.
Seafood and Steak.
If you ever go out there,
if you go down there, you owe it to yourself to eat there.
That's good.
Be prepared for a good wait, though.
Nice people, too.
Yeah, we tried to do it multiple nights, but everybody's figured out about that place, and you'll miss a hunt if you're not careful.
Yeah.
Because it'll be 2 hours of people trying to get in there.
You got
to
have your priorities straight.
But tell us, Johnny, how the trip, as you and I got closer, what happened and what we thought you were going to have to turn around and do, because it was
we had went down there, and Jason was talking about seeing some storm warnings and this and that and other on, and we was calling back and forth and talking. I called my wife, and they had them one of my youngest daughter had basketball practice, and I called my wife to see kind of what was going on. I didn't know nothing about all this stuff that was going on, but evidently, they had some severe storms come through, and they had them in the basement of the high school. And my oldest daughter was at home, so my wife called her and told her to go to her grandma's house and stay there and wait for them. And I was like,
we both thought that was a bad idea.
Yeah, I thought that. I said, why in the world would they do that? So I never did say nothing. I just said, all right, well, that's good. And we got down to Sardis, actually pulled off at a parking lot in Sardis Lake.
And was there.
And called them, and evidently a tornado had went down the road that I live on and went right through my backyard. Part of it, it split. Part of it went through my backyard, and a part of it went down in the holler below the house. And it just went like you drove it right around the house.
But thing had came down, it already shut down. There was 3 miles of road back there. You couldn't get in there.
Yeah, it was trees across the road, and you couldn't get in there. And my My wife has, well, we have a couple of golden doodles, and my wife is very astute to those two dogs, and she's worried about those, which rightfully so, and she was worried about that, and then I finally got a hold of one of the firefighter guys that lives out that way, and he told me that, I asked him, I said, well, what about the house, is it still there, and he said, yeah, it's still there, and then I asked him if anything tore up, and he said no, and so I called my wife back, and she was able to get they had the road cut open for side-by-side traffic.
Now, this is main roads, too. This isn't back roads, and it was, yeah the only way to access it was side-by-sides. Yeah. It was major damage all through there.
And they, I told her, she said, I'm going to go back there and check on them. I said, take the smallest vehicle you got, which my daughter has got a little all-wheel drive Nissan Murano. It's pretty small. And her and her brother went back there and checked on them and got them. And during all that time, it blowed some trees down on my place. But one of them in particular was leaned out across the house. And if it would have fell on down, it would have just went through the center of my roof into the house. But I was thinking.
And if it had, you could have turned it into insurance.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's another story. Anyway, I called them, and they got everything situated, and they went home. I thought the Winter Classic was over before it started, because she was pretty upset about the dogs, and I didn't know about the house or nothing there for a while, so I told them boys, I said, I'll just take you in, and I'll drop you off, I'll turn around and go back home, and but it worked out. We didn't have no damage, just that one tree that leaned over the house.
But there was a lot of people on your road that got damage to their houses and barns. I mean, Stacy's Preacher out there, everybody. It was bad.
Yeah, there's one house right there beside, right before you get to my house, the whole left-hand wall was gone, part of the roof, and there's probably 50 red oak and white oaks down, 100 probably. And that one patch down there, there's 50, probably 50 big mature red oak and white oaks down. But like I said, I only had that one, I only had the one tree, which I had to pay for to get removed by a boom truck.
If it had fell, insurance would have paid for it.
Yeah, it cost me $1,000 to get the tree cut.
Told you I could have got it for you.
Well, I told you, I started to take an excavator home and do it, and I got a little bit leery of it.
And I'm just being ugly to Johnny because insurance should have helped on that whole thing, but that
Well, that's what I told the insurance guy. I said, so you want me to let it fall? No, don't do that. I said, well, it is what it is. You can pay for the $250,000 house, or you can pay for $1,000 tree removal. Oh no, that wasn't part of it. I said, why, the storm blowed it down? Well, you mean it wasn't part of it? But me and that guy don't see eye to eye anyway.
So that was a good crazy start to the Winter Classic.
It was. I thought, man, we're doomed now from the word go.
Throw out a good word, I volunteered to go home with you. So look there.
He did. I will say, Stacy called back while we were all sitting there. He's calling some of his buddies back while we were at the Winter Classic, and he told them where all the keys were to the equipment and told them to go get it, and they were going to use it. Luckily, we didn't have to do all that, but he was being a good guy.
Yep.
I wasn't planning on leaving.
Don't expect that very much, though.
I don't expect that much.
Yeah, that's a rare occasion.
That's right. So, but that was a wild start to that, because that was nerve-wracking.
It was.
Because we didn't know. All we found out was there was a tornado down, and it was coming through, and it actually did damage for, that's 50 to 75 miles through there. It was a big tornado.
It hit and pick up and then drop back down and pick up and drop back down and pick up.
Well, and the crazy thing is, you know, that was, what are we, 3 weeks now? 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago,
yeah,
and we this weekend, if you all remember, this was Sunday or Monday was
the third
was the anniversary of the Cookeville tornadoes, where we had so much devastation here, and then we all sat through last night, no tornadoes, but that was some of the craziest winds. I mean, it sounded like my house coming down.
It was pretty intense.
It was getting 60-mile-an-hour straight line winds last night. I walked out on the porch twice. And I've got swings on both sides. The boys all know that. But my swings were touching the ceiling consistently.
I had to – remember I told you Kyle come to the house and took my ceiling fans down and put puck lights up in the back porch?
Yeah.
wind come through the house right there and blowed the ceiling fans up into the soffit.
Yeah, that was crazy last night though. So, the Winter Classic turned out really good because, like I said, once everything settled down, we went to the fish house that Johnny's talking about, and it's like I said, if anybody listens to this, if you go to Batesville for the Winter Classic, make one trip north. It's what? It's only 10 minutes. Yeah, 10 minutes. Just go north up there to one or two exits up and go to Locke's Fish House, or Fishing Steakhouse. It is well worth the trip.
It is.
Yep.
They can cook. It's a buffet, but you can order stuff too, but it's not a regular buffet. It's shrimp and fish and stuff that
they're
bringing out nonstop because there's people just waiting for it. So
yeah, it's white beans, turnip greens, macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes. I mean, coleslaw. It's pretty nice.
You get there on a Saturday night, and they're going to be parked. The parking lot's huge, but they're going to be parked up and down the highway to get into that place. So it was well worth it.
It's worth every bit of it.
So
we found it 2 years ago. We all got drawn to go to Arkansas, and it was coming. One of them boys at work said it was coming one of them typhoon gusties. So we decided we wasn't going to go.
So we just went to the fish house for the night.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was well worth it. But what else about the Winter Classic? Definitely want to give a big thanks to everybody that came by to see us. We're blown away with the reception that Coon Hunt Media's got, and it was really, really good to get to sit down and talk face to face with so many of the people that listen coming by and seeing us. But what are you guys thinking? We had lots of people coming by and talking to us.
We did. It was several.
Done a lot of talking.
Yeah. So we do appreciate everybody that came over and had a good time. I mean, we moved a lot of merchandise. We would like to see more people getting Coon Hunt Media hats and shirts, but several have picked those up. So sporting a logo.
We even had guys come up and ask us about sponsoring that we didn't even know who they was at first. Yep. And then they come up and they wanted to help be part of it, listen to it, and done some things. So we got a couple more sponsors out of the deal.
And it's all been kind of different avenues, and that it works out. I mean, like you know, the one guy that came up and he was like wanting to do some sponsoring, and he was a dog hauler, and we get to looking. I'm like, well, hey, I don't care a bit. I use you. You've hauled dogs for me all over the place, and
which is commercials. So I guess it's live now.
It was live last
week.
So I mean, that's what I'm saying. I got no issue with putting you down as a sponsor because I've used your service. I mean, he's done very good work for us. So we're throw that out there is you know, you need a dog transported, check with Muddy River Transport. He does a good thing. I mean, he takes care of them. But lots and lots of people came by. What about some of the hunts? Did we do any good down there?
Yeah, we did.
Well, I know why we did. I'm asking you boys. Did we do any good down there?
We done all right.
So
it could have been a little better, but
that's only based on you can just tree what's there.
Oh yeah.
But as I always say, you just got to win the cast you're in. And
Friday was more of a bad break with tree and coon and timeout and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, there could have been a couple more coons added on the card, but
yeah,
we doubled up though.
That's the point I'm making. I mean, you did get a double up. That's a good thing. That's a big deal.
We had a bad break Friday night. Thus, ripped toenail off.
We did. How'd that happen? I don't know. But
I don't know.
Well, we were doing pretty good. You'd treed, you was up on two coon, and then that happened, and oh well.
We know all about them toenails.
Yeah. That's kind of a game changer.
We ripped another one off 2 nights ago. Blood everywhere.
Yeah. And I don't know why. I mean, it's not because, I mean, we're feeding top-notch feed, and
we believe it's the way he trees.
He hangs it on the inside of his both feet to the tree. And he's pretty intense when he's hanging on, and it just—I don't know—he'll pop a toenail.
But I will say,
is it usually the same one?
Both of them.
There's two.
Both the front feet and inner nails.
So it's the two on the inside. But he's done that. This is third or fourth time. It happens all the time.
Oh, they're never on there. They never grow back ever. But no, I will say a shout out to Briar Creek though for their foot paste. It works good. It helps. It helps numb their feet, which helps whenever. That does happen. I put it on that feet, and I can recut him, and it kind of numbs his toe up a little bit.
Yeah, well, actually, I think the name of the stuff's Dog Country.
Yep. You can pick it up at Briar Creek.
Dog Country. foot medicine pad. We took him to a place Monday night with one of our buddies, a friend of ours, bought a pup off of us, and he bought a couple pups off of us in the past. But we went with him to check a spot out about hunting the TOC at and guiding. And we went in there and first ripped, treed one at 0.6 of a mile. And ripped his toenail off. Well, we put a little medicine on it, and
there's a lot of blood on that one too.
It was put some of that medicine on him, and drove him back down the road. Took him back to the farm, cut him back loose again. He treed one at 350 after we cut him. Then he treed one at what, 500-600 yards?
Yeah, treed, so about 600 off recut.
So I mean, he treed three cones
and still moved around good with that hurt toe. So that foot pace works good.
It does. It's good stuff.
Now, while you're on that topic there, I don't know if we're going to name any names. We don't want everybody to know who our few friends are, right?
No.
But he knows who he is. He's got some good spots.
He's got some good spots.
And I tried to get him, and he's going to listen, and I'm going to fuss at him. I was like, you ready to get on here and do one of these with us? Oh, no, I'll get camera shot. I said, there ain't no camera, buddy. That's not an excuse. So,
But he's actually got access to another farm we're going to go try. In a couple of nights and try it and see kind of which. Now, that one place we went, it had a few steep hills. The next place, he said, rolling, and it's 1,800 acres, so it'll hold dogs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's a big old tract of land. Whenever a dog can go 3/4 of a mile and never leave that block of timber,
that's a big block of timber.
That's pretty good.
That's a good block of timber.
That's good for around here. Normally, I go 3/4 mile. We've
crossed
three backyards and seven landowners.
Yeah.
Now,
hostage. Speaking of that,
that is a good story.
Did we talk about that story on the last podcast, or did that happen after the last podcast?
After the last one.
Well, let's save that for just a few minutes. I'm making notes as we talk, just the talking points. We'll finish the Winter Classic, but
hostage situation.
We need the hostage situation. That needs to be discussed. That's a good one.
This episode is going to have a few good stories in it.
Yeah, there is. There is. So we'll get into some of those. But, yeah, as far as the Winter Classic goes, and that was my point that I was asking, is because, like I said, I was there. I know the outcome. But didn't get in the top 10 or anything. But you got
we missed Friday night by two dogs.
Uh-huh. And then Saturday night, you missed overall high scoring blue tick by 25 points, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah. That one coon I treated timeout would have helped.
Absolutely. And
then he had another one treated at a hunt, but you can't count those.
No. But
two more.
As I say all the time, you can only beat the dogs you're against. You can only get whatever's in there. Nonetheless, Winter Classic getting double up, that's a good thing. And
I will say this, we had a good cast Friday night, except for one instance.
I want to get into that right now, but if you listen to this podcast, you're going to have to wait because...
Get ready to rumble.
There was a story that goes along with Friday night at the Winter Classic, and it's one of the best. And for those of you that have listened all along and you've got hooked on these Johnny stories, this one's a Kyle story, every bit as good as any Johnny story that we've ever had.
It's a good one.
So,
I will say that.
So we will hold that. We won't name any names or anything, but we are going to tell that story. So... That's our little teaser out there. Don't hang up on us for this one. I mean, we'll probably ramble just a little bit, but that'll be a good story at the end. So, is there anything else about the Winter Classic that we can think of?
Oh yeah,
go ahead.
Guess what I brought home?
I'd actually made a note on that on my piece of paper. Because you make me mad every time we go somewhere.
Somebody walks to the booth with a new puppy.
So everybody knows. Jason's a blue tick man. End of discussion. That's just how life is. And which Stacy had got one of my blue tick pups and
killed it.
killed it. Nonetheless, so
I don't know.
So we're down there at the Winter Classic, and Stacy don't have a puppy right now. We're working our tails off at that booth, and everything's going. Stacy's done a good job. We're running that booth too, but he goes missing. And I'm like, where's Stacy at? And they're like, I think he's out there looking at some puppies. I said, you got to be kidding me. Well, then here, a few minutes later, I go out to the truck. And guess who comes walking down the road? Tyler. And he's got this little red and white English puppy in his hand. And he sees me, and you can just see him looking me over, trying to figure out what's going to happen. And he goes, Jason, what do you think? How you like my puppy? I said, it's a puppy, buddy. I'm happy for you. He goes, you mad at me? I said, no, buddy, I'm not mad at you, but I might be at your daddy. So tell us what you did there, Stacy. You go disappear for 30 minutes. And
I didn't do nothing. I just took dog back there. That's all it is.
It's probably for sale if anybody wants a good English dog. Good
it's English 100%.
Hey, it's a pretty pup.
It's for sale.
And it's bred well. Craig Sweeten come by there, and he was laughing about it. I was like, yeah, he ain't going to tell me about this. He's going to sneak off and do it, and it's all a done deal. But he did buy a good-looking English pup. It's
yeah, just, it is a good-looking little puppy.
And he's bred good. But he's and I will say, if I wasn't a blue tick man, I would probably lean toward English just because I like them. But nonetheless.
He's out of the bookie male and that star female. She won the winning classes a few years ago. Bookie's done a lot of winning, and he is red and white. He's not
blue tick, period.
Or the red tick. He's red and white. He's red white and white with red spots, big red patches.
He's different, and he's pretty dog. He is, but
he's not my trained dog. Ahead,
but I'm telling you, that cracked me up, Tyler. He was waiting. Are you mad at me? No, I'm not mad at you. So anything else about the winter classic?
And when he's been home, he's fed. I've not had to mess with it.
So he is taking care of it.
Taking care of it.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's good. That is good.
But it is for sale.
So he's one for two right
Stacy's
now.
Stacy's like, it is for sale.
Well, that'll teach you some responsibility then.
That's right.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Absolutely.
All right. So anything else?
Till he's sold.
Anything else?
It's for sale.
Yeah, it won't be here long. I mean, let's just.
It's a pretty pup, too. It ain't got a mouth on it.
It does. It does got a good mouth. So.
Am I looking when it's hit us up?
Stacy's over here. We'll turn this into Coon Hunt Media Dog Trading Day. This episode, Stacy's got this for sale. All right, anything else on the Winter Classic? We covered it or anything else? All in all,
they were good.
That's one of the hunts that I would recommend everybody going to. It's fun. It's a good hunt. Starts the year off. We did miss out on one thing this year that we normally do. We could not find crawfish.
It's sold out.
Sold out. And we talked to, was it Mark Vandeveer was one telling us that they was trying to find it, and they finally found some, but they said they were off this season, or they were having a real, real bad season with them, and they were high, and you couldn't hardly find them.
Yeah.
So
I went down to the trailer I used to buy them from, and he sold out in 2 hours. He didn't have a lot.
I don't think they had many this time, so that's the only thing I'm disappointed in, that we didn't get those.
But we did get a double cast win, so it of course, that's
helps for Triple Crown.
Help for the Triple Crown. We'll just have to see.
That's what I'm saying. It's a big deal.
How we advance.
And we won't name his name, but I do want to say thank you to our guide.
Oh, yes, sir.
And I know he listens to this podcast. He don't want us to mention him, but I do want to say thank you for him guiding us.
Absolutely. He's a good great dude. Guy.
Great guy.
Top of the line.
Well, it makes
and he,
it.
And he fit right in because he was sending all kinds of good stuff, making fun of you.
And you.
Yeah. And me. And me. I got some too. So, yeah, I appreciate it.
It makes it so much easier when you're going to hunt 20 minutes down the road.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're going to go to, and I'm not knocking. But when you drive to Arkansas, 2 hours away, and then you got to drive another hour and a half there, and then you got the booth to set up and do this kind of thing and
makes
stuff.
It hard.
I mean, it's hard to.
That's what a lot of people don't understand is what we can't lay in a hotel till 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock sleeping. No. We're up at 6:30,
ready to get back
down there to open our booth up again, and we're there all day long, and then we're back at it the next night, next day. So it does help being close to Batesville.
It does,
and having good spots too.
Yeah.
Like I said, he has definitely got our admiration on it. He had some good hunting, and like I said, it was close. I mean, that's I will say 2 years ago when Hudson and I drew Arkansas, and then we drew from Arkansas another 2 hour drive. That was one of the most miserable nights I've ever had hunting.
Yeah, y'all didn't make it into daylight. I mean, how you gonna do that and then go get at a booth at 8 o'clock in the morning? Y'all hunting with him Friday night. We had a man that was hunting a black and tan dog that guided us Friday on our cast.
And it was a good hunt. It was a good place, too.
It was a good place. And then he guided us Saturday night, the guy that
yeah, because you guys got in Friday, and it was the best place. We needed to go back to there.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is. I'd like to say I thank him for that also.
And just a good guy to hang out with. I mean, yeah. We had a good time. So
yeah, well, he's a good guy, and we had good. Like I said, we had a good guy that guided us Friday night. We didn't come. Then Saturday night we was back in Coons.
It was rougher hunting Saturday night.
It was. The temperature was falling and the wind was blowing.
It was raining.
It was different.
Dogs didn't go the right direction either.
Mm-mm.
No. Well, you know how it is. Well, and it seems like I never go the right direction.
But like I said, the big thing out of that nonetheless is Winter Classic is first leg of the Triple Crown. Has a dog ever won the Triple Crown that did not at least double up at the Winter? So it's a big deal. Doubling up at the Winter Classic, you almost have to do if you're going to try to run
Triple Crown.
If you're going to race for the Triple Crown, and
practically, if you don't double up at the Winter Classic, you've got to win Automokes and win the World Championship. You know, and
like I said, we're diehard blue tick, man, and we don't have a real good track record on the world. Maybe one of these days, but not yet. So you needed that double up. So congratulations on that. That was good. You guys want to take a break, and then we'll talk a little bit about the upcoming hunts and a few other things to finish it off tonight.
Sounds good.
Houndsman Advantage is a proud sponsor of the Coon Hunting Media Podcast. Houndsman Advantage is the premier digital scoring solution for the competition hunter. The app gives the necessary tools to score in competition or track your dog's hunting performance while on pleasure hunts. Imagine the benefit of having this tool at your fingertips on every hunt. Some of the features included within the app are a scorecard view, a summary view with tree timers for up to four dogs. There is no more calculating split strike and tree points manually. They are preloaded within the app. Cumulative scores will be automatically totaled with current plus, minus, circle, or deleted points after each scoring situation. The app includes the full rules for UKC, PKC, Pro Sport, and AKC. A search function is included, which allows you to find specific rules instantly. The app allows you to scratch or withdraw a dog at any time during the cast. When the app is running under the UKC rules, it will automatically scratch a dog that has reached the scratchable amount of minus points. The app includes a kennel function for personal information such as registration numbers and entry cards. You can also store analytics on your dog's accuracy, win percentages, and much, much more. Even though the app has been tailored with the competition hunter in mind, the pleasure hunter has not been left out. You can set up pleasure hunts that track up to two dogs' performance at a time. You can keep totals on accuracy, whether good or bad. This will be broken down to the game scene, dens, slicks, and so on. When you register on the app, you are given a one-week free trial. Within the app, navigate to the news and update section. There, you will find a video that will walk you through how to use the entire app. Don't lose a cast because you didn't know the score or you had the wrong score. Give yourself the advantage, the Houndsman Advantage. The app is available for download at the App Store and Google Play.
Cajun Outdoors is the official light sponsor of Coon Hunting Media Podcast. Cajun Lights has been in business since 1986, making them one of the oldest hunting light companies in the industry. Any listeners from this area knows the level of quality and reputation that came with the Cajun Light. Cajun Outdoors is quickly reclaiming their spot at the top of the modern hunting light industry. Their recipe for success is listening to customers' needs and wants. If you're looking at a Cajun light and don't see exactly what you want, pick up the phone and call the owner, L.W. Nixon. He will make the light that you want become a reality. Customization is not a problem with Cajun lights. You don't have to worry about cheap foreign parts from box stores. There are no worries about tariffs. All their lights are made right here in North Carolina in the great USA. The key mission statement of Cajun lights is, when you as a customer spend your hard-earned money with us, we'll stand behind what we sell. We will be here for years to come. The current light lineup is the premium light that is tailored specifically to the competition coon hunter, the Cajun Blinder. It comes with a choice of either bright white or natural main beam with four levels of brightness. super bright dual white walk lights with spot flood combo for great visibility while walking and searching. Super bright red light with high-low option. Super bright amber with high-low option. Intense bright green laser. Burn time on high is 5 to 6 hours. Clip mounted for easy removal and changing of various hats. Weighs 18 to 21 ounces depending on hat style. The other quality lights they include are the Cajun Rogueru, the Cajun Bayou 2, the Cajun Micro Gator. All Cajun lights come with a 2-year warranty along with a lifetime labor warranty. Most of the guys at Coon Hunting Media have ran Cajun lights since childhood. Cajun lights, try one and experience an elite light from a brand that has been around for years. Call them at 888-773-3080 or visit their website at cajunlights.com.
Briar Creek Kennels, feed and hunting supply store, owned by Chris Girth, located in Hemera, Indiana. Briar Creek carries all your pet supplies and is the headquarters for all your hunting dog gear. Never get caught in the dark. They carry Outlaw Lights, Superior Lights, and their own Briar Creek Light brand. They are an authorized Garmin and Dogtra dealer. They offer hunting apparel by Yoder Nylon, Southside Hunting Gear, Dan's, Razor, and their own Briar Creek branded gear. Dog boxes include Old Dry Pond and Diamond Deluxe, AGM thermals, engraved nameplates, dog collars, and leads are just a few of the many other offerings you can get from Briar Creek. Visit the store in person or shop online at www.shopbriarcreek.com or check them out at the major events. Their direct business number is 812-383-9489. Briar Creek Kennels Feed and Hunting Supply Store.
Welcome back, welcome back. We're here. We didn't go nowhere. Start rolling in.
We're here.
We took a break.
We never left.
It's break time.
It was break time.
Coffee break.
I went and got Johnny one of my, what was that? It's Coca-Cola orange cream. I was a little bit disappointed in those. They're all right, but.
They're all right.
Got my money. I bought a case of them.
Well, and I took part of your money away from you, so.
Well, I'm trying to get people to drink them because. Jessica's like,
oh, so you give me the
she'll buy that stuff if you want it. You don't want to buy stuff when we throw it in the buggy, but
I've heard that before.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the upcoming hunts that are coming up that we're going to hit or would like to go to or are coming up that we're not going to get to go to or anything, but just what we got.
What's first on the list? First?
Well, it depends
first
on.
First should be Blue Tick. When Illinois is up there.
Yeah, so it all depends on how fast we get this aired, but if we can get it aired in time, Robinson, Illinois, our good buddy Mr. Dan Sheridan, who joins in with us all the time, they've got a BBCHA sectional hunt this weekend, so it'll be March 7th and 8th.
Yeah.
So that hunt, we're hoping we can sneak away and get up there, but they've been trying to bring that hunt back and make it a little bit stronger again than – they've done a good job. I mean, Dan's been sending us. They got trophies from when we were kids.
Yeah, they did. They got nice trophies.
And that's also, isn't that the one that the guys put the raffles for that one, right? I'm not getting that mixed up.
Yep.
So they have a raffle going on. They're going to give away a
Henry Golden Boy.
Golden Boy. So that's going to be that's right there in the heart, as he calls it, the heartland. But that's right in the heart of where all the big hunts are. So it's going to be a place that,
oh yeah,
if you can get away and get up there to that hunt, there's going to be coons to be treed.
Oh yeah, there'll be coons treed up there.
I hope we can get away. Work stuff. I don't know.
I know it's going to be tough, but we're trying to sneak off. But we literally got to sneak off in like 2 days if we do.
Yeah.
To get up there that one, but that's a hunt that everybody needs to keep in mind. And then, what else are we getting ready for right now?
I guess the next thing be the TLC.
That's getting close.
Is it the zones first?
Yeah.
Before the world?
The zones first.
So you'll have the – how will that lay out? You got the TLC zones. Will the PKC world be before – it's before the tournament, isn't it?
Yeah, you got the zones, then you got the world, and then you'll have TOC finals.
Yeah, the finals, the 96.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
So the TOC is kind of, and that's what you boys were always talking about a minute ago, going up hunting with one of our good friends to try a spot out to see about hunting. So you got to get through them zones. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. like the world hunt. I mean, you got to get in. So being able to put some, and last year we was actually shocked. I mean, 10 miles always a good hunt, but I was really shocked at how high scores were coming in consistently.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a good job getting that thing set up over there. And what was that? What was it, five?
We was wrong. PKC World's first.
So the world will be before the zones.
Yeah, zones is the last weekend of March.
Okay. So, but yeah, that's to get into the TOC, though, you're gonna have to try to get into some places that got some good scores capable of being made. Because last year, I would have not thought it would have been that high a score, but it took 5 or 550 to get through over there on a single last year. I mean, there's Trancoons.
Yeah.
At 10 mile, it took 800 at Mount Gilead.
Yeah. We won't relive that one again.
No, that still haunts me.
I would have thought, 100% thought you were in last year with that score.
Oh, you're good. Don't worry about it. Sleep good. You all right? I slept like a baby that night.
Mm-hmm.
Until I woke up. And that was a long 8-hour drive back home. Missed it by one dog.
Yeah. I would have never thought those kind of scores would have came in up there either. I mean, that was some big scores consistently, but you got – So you got TOC coming up. So we got two dogs trying to get in for that, and then you got two dogs we're trying to get into the PKC world. So that's going to be a very, very busy next few months.
Yeah. Then you got finals, TOC finals. Then you have Super Stakes. Then what's in May?
You get into Blue Tick days, and then you're going to be starting all the PKC breed hunts.
Breed hunts.
And when the St. Jude's hunt. In Parsons, Tennessee.
We'll have to go back and look and get our timing on that one. That's getting close.
That's a good hunt. It's April sometime.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all happening fast. I mean, it's that time. Everything's about to kick off. And then for us, we also want to push the BBCHA Spring Roundup.
Yeah.
That's going to be in Martinsville, Indiana.
It's in April.
That's April, 24th, 25th, 26th.
Yeah, it's right in the middle of, or right after Super Stakes and TOC finals.
Yeah. So you got, I mean, Jim Combs and Ken Herman, them guys, they do an excellent job on that hunt. But we also want to put on that one, for anybody that's listens to us, Cajun's helped us out on this one. We've got a Bayou 2. That's what we're going to do. So we've got sponsor. A lot donated for that one. Be from Coon Hunt Media and from Cajun. It's a youth event. It's not a youth event. It's the spring roundup, but we are doing a youth award. I'll try to say it right.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get into all the details of how they're going to do it because we're letting those guys be in charge of that. But
it is a normal event. It's a double printed point event. But they do like these awards for – they have a lot of youth at that hunt, that they have youth cast and stuff.
And for us, you know, we've always talked about it. I mean, we want to promote for the kids and the younger people. We want to get them involved in it. So the guys are working out a thing in there for a special award that will be this light, and it will be for the high-scoring youth hunter in that hunt. So this award will go out, if I'm understanding it correct. So if I'm misquoting it, the way Ken and – Jim set it up, it'll be the final thing. But I'm thinking it's going to be high-scoring youth, not necessarily having to win the hunt.
Right.
So this is strictly going to be
for his kids.
It's a youth award. But it's a good light. And it's something that if that hunt is on your radar to go, get some kid to go with you and let them handle the dog and get in there and hunt that hunt and try to win that light.
For sure.
So we got that one coming up, and then, like I said, then we'll have all the breed hunts to start getting ready for. So any other on the hunts?
Going to be busy.
It is going to be busy. So what else we want to cover? I've got a topic that I want to talk about a little bit here. But, well, actually, before we do, talk about some of these pups. So we raised a lot of pups this past year, and they're getting up to about that 6-month age right now. And we're starting to see some pretty good results.
Oh, yeah.
I know out of these different crosses, the gentleman you boys hunted with the other night, he's got one of the females out of your cross up there. And from what I understand, she's like a little terror. She's going to...
Yeah. A lot of the pups out that litter are either tricking coons or running junk.
Yeah.
And they're 6 months old. So they're the big thing we've noticed with them, they're very independent, naturally. They don't like dogs being around them. They don't even like people being around them. They're just doing their own thing.
Yeah. And I think we've made some pretty good crosses. And I'm going to go out there and say, Mark and I was even talking about it the other day, because I've got reports coming in from, I got puppies in, a pup in Louisiana that's treeing, a pup in Michigan that was treeing. Mark's got a pup out of my cross, and then he's also got another pup out of a littermate sister to Rip, and both of them are out of his dog.
Yep.
And I'm going to throw out there that I'm a very, very big proponent of the female, but I'm seeing on that cross, or those crosses, numerous pups that are doing very good out of different females. So I'm going to say, from the blue tick guys, that's a dog, another dog that should be paid very close attention to as far as reproducer. Yep. So Mark sent me a video last week, and he literally had the pups in the pen, and these are 6 month old puppies, and that's what he said on. He said, I've already showed them the coon, took the coon away from them, took it out in the field and turned it loose, and I've got videos of them 6 month old puppies unsnapping the pen, walking them out across the property toward the field where the cage is. There is no coon there. The coon's already gone, and them little rascals are going out there 150 yards and setting tree. Got the coon. So that's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
That's natural ability.
For 6 months old.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing.
No.
They're going. So that's a good thing. So
especially, just the truth, especially in the blue tick breed. I mean, early starting blue ticks used to not be really a big thing. But now you can see it it's starting to be more fluent now of early starting blue dogs.
So that was interesting to see. You know, and we're seeing reports on, you got puppies out of that cross in North Carolina,
West Virginia.
I mean, and they're, you know, I've got pups in Louisiana.
Yep.
We got pups Illinois, and we're getting these reports out of different ones. So the one thing the ones that aren't doing anything are the ones that are my house, because
same ones, because we ain't starting on ours.
We're not doing anything. I'm telling you, these pups, I've said it over and over, it's about time.
Oh, yeah.
Time with them. If you'll mess with them, there's you can bring those things out on them.
Yeah, I mean, there's one out of that cross. He's done treed two coons, 6 months old, split from their dogs, and had a coon. I mean, you really can't ask for much more at 6 months old, whether they're treeing coons or running deer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's another thing on these puppies. Don't be upset and bothered about puppies that are running deer. That's not a bad thing.
It's good on the nose. Learn them how to run.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Better than laying around your feet.
Yep.
Yeah, because
absolutely,
a trashy pup can be broke.
Oh yeah, once they start falling off on coons, they're deadly. They might suck for a little while. I mean, I will say that. I mean, trying to get them round up and catching them and stuff, but I mean, it does help them in the long run, 100%.
It does. Learn them how to move that track.
So that's something that I've seen that's been very, very interesting. Another thing that I have found that I for the listeners that I would like to talk about is all the boys here know, and all the people around us know, that I've been looking for another dog. I don't really have anything to campaign right now with our bunch, and we've tried several dogs out from different parts of the country, and I ask it as a question there, what are we running into as a problem with these dogs coming in here?
Tick diseases.
And that's the part that I don't understand with it. I mean, and the reason I'm trying for a dog is, I mean, do I like my punch female? I love her. I told a boy the other night, I said, I'm looking for a dog. I would pay the money that I'm trying to find to buy a dog. I would give it on her if I could pull 3 years off of her. My thing is age. Age has got her. But we've had dogs from Pennsylvania. We've had dogs come in here from West Virginia. And that's part of the deals when we're trying these dogs out. We're just we want to know, and they're not been tested, so we're taking them to the vet and just getting test run on them, and every one of them's popping Lyme's disease.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's We've got our dog up in Illinois, and these are all different. For us, it's all still kind of a we kind of somewhat stay in certain breeds and families, but there's a lot of outcrosses in these dogs, and we're seeing it from different ones. I mean, several different ones, but they're all popping.
Well, you know, all my outcrosses, they've all had it. Every one of them.
They are.
Every one of them.
So
outcrosses, half crosses, anything crosses,
inbred crosses.
No, they walked.
But I mean, it's just one of those things.
It's common is the tick disease, Lyme disease.
I mean, we're just running into it left and right. I mean, it's
and getting really good about telling if a dog's got or not.
Yeah, we're getting to where you can kind of peg it. We can kind of peg it on one first time out and run it to the vet. And sure enough, that's what's popping every time. So.
That's big thing is put them on preventative as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may not be 100%, but it's sure better than nothing.
But, you know, like our dogs that we've, since pups, like my plot dog, Punch, we kept them on the
Lyme's vaccine.
Oh, yeah. And so far, they've not.
I mean, we've been pulling tests on those dogs, and they're not coming back showing the positives on the Lyme's, but these dogs that have been coming in from different places, we're getting it. It's frustrating.
And I figured out these dogs you bringing in from other places can't treat coons here.
We've talked about that 100 times of trying these dogs.
We had a big country dog. He was nice dog.
That dog
was
treat coon.
He treat coon. Anywhere you put him.
He's one of the very few that we've been bringing in here and trying. Actually, Stacy laid the law down another day to Kyle. He said, tell Johnny to quit helping Jason find dogs. Because we're running into that. But I'm telling you, if you go try a dog out and he looks pretty good or she looks pretty good there, you better try it on your home turf.
Home turf.
And that's what we've been getting into. I mean, I'm not going to hide it. I mean, I just got through trying one that I thought was the right one. I thought that was going to be the dog. And I've made two – I won't even tell where I've been going to, but I've made two trips, one to go get him, bring him back here, and another one to take him back, and it was it's 12-hour round trip. So I've made – between Kyle and Hudson and then me and Hudson, we've made two 12-hour round trips in the past few weeks, bringing them here and then taking them back. Trend coons in Tennessee is a little different story. I've said it takes a special dog.
It's not – it's Tennessee. It's our area. We don't handle coons here. Mm-mm. Oh, they're treating holes. They're going to treat the holes. They're smart.
But we have run into that quite a bit, and it's a frustrating thing to deal with. On these things, but one of the things I wanted to talk about as far as the Lyme disease, we're trying something that we've not tried before. So I was able to get a dog bought the other day that we had raised and sold, and I'm glad the boys let us have him back from up in West Virginia. He's actually a litter mate brother.
That was a rough trip.
You boys have made a lot of trips.
I made that one solo.
Yes, and thank you.
You're welcome.
But
30 hours no sleep ought to kill me.
But that's another one. That dog has actually came back here. He can treat coons in Tennessee.
Yeah, because I'll tell you right now, I thought we had mountains here. No, West Virginia's got mountains.
They've got mountains.
Mountains.
But that's another one of them dogs. I mean, he's in my kennel, but he's tested positive for Lyme's.
But this dog here is the reason I sold the country dog.
That is true.
Because I want it. That's your old house dog.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of our... He's one of those semen puppies that we raised several years back, and
yeah, he's a litter mate to Flo.
So he came back here. He had he just needed two wins to be a grand knight, and Stacy's took him to one hunt, just a local hunt, but you took him to one hunt. We've already got that on, so we'll have him. We should have him granded out real quick. But my point on it that I wanted to talk about is which our friends over at Cajun, their main dealers for Elite Nutrition. They're top notch when it comes to that. And Nick Mobley and I have been talking a bunch about this, and I'm going to try it. I asked Nick. I said, "What's your opinion on some of this Elite Nutrition stuff?" And he said, "I was against it as much as anybody in the world." And he said, "I'm a firm believer in it now because I tried to prove." He tried to prove it wrong, and he said he's seeing very good results out of it. So this will be my first dog that I've tried, but I'm going to put him through the full treatment for Lyme's disease. And we're about, as soon as we wrap up the doxy on him, we're going to put him on that. So we'll be guinea pigs as well. I'll call it like we see it. I mean, but he did say, you know, it's extremely important to run the full treatment on it. He said that was what he keeps seeing people that do run into problems with it. is they start them on it and the dogs look and act 100% different. But after they do that, they think like, oh, it's a miracle drug. And then what does human nature make us want to do is we get lazy and they quit doing it. They'll finish it.
I want you to do this one.
I don't want to do this one. I'd rather leave him at your house.
I've done it for 2 months.
So that's my only frustrating part of it. It's going to take a whole lot of – it takes dedication on it because you're going to be doing this
twice a day. Think about how long I've done this. Every dog I've owned.
Well, it's just
become – every one of them.
It's just become normal routine for you.
That's a lot of hot dogs, though. I go buy –
cramming doxy pills and hot dogs.
That's what I do. I go buy hot dogs. That's how I do it. I bring pills
in hand. You ever just open up their mouth and throw that sucker back in?
Give my hot dog and be done with it. It's faster.
But what we're going to be doing on that one, it's a three-part treatment. So there's going to be two probiotics that they're going to be getting, and there's going to be another treatment. And he did say as far as the doxy and that working together, he said, you know, it will limit what the probiotics are doing. So I'm debating on whether we wait just a little bit, get a little bit closer to the finishing of the doxy, and then start it. That way they're getting – because the probiotics and the doxy are going to kind of offset each other.
Yeah.
So we're about to try it, but you're going to give probiotics in their feed every day, and then you're going to give them another round of a medication. It's not a medication. It's all natural stuff is what this is. And they say over time that will actually kill – the limes in their body. So that's what we're hoping for, and we're going to give
them how fat these dogs will be. Me doing this, feeding twice a day, they're going to be fat.
Well, we bought a treadmill, so we're going to put them on a treadmill as well.
In the woods.
So what's your boys' thoughts on that? I mean, are you? I'm excited to see what it does.
I am too. I am.
Elite Nutrition is good stuff. I've personally. Man, one of my good friends from Decatur, we have used the Electro Boost paste. Yes. And that stuff is, I've seen it work. It's some good stuff.
Well, let me look at and see if I can find my note here, because we were just going through some of that stuff the other night.
You know why Nick's so intelligent, don't you?
Why is that?
He has plot notes.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe he won't listen to that.
I see his head swelling out.
I like plot notes. I'm not gonna diss a man over a plot note. We have got him hunting. He is hunting a blue dog over there, so at least he got one guy in his group.
I always hunt blue dogs. So,
like, which one was it you was talking about?
They like the Electro Paste?
Electro Boost.
Yeah,
He said that was an extremely good product.
And so what's good about that, it reacts fast.
Now, another product that they had that he's got me real interested in is that Canine Punch. I put stars beside that when we talked the other day. But we're about to run it. We're going to go through. So if anybody else wants to try it and you got one that you can't seem to get over the limes, or you think something's – even if the dog don't have limes.
There's some good essentials. You know, they got one's called Dog Essential or Hound Essential or something.
A few of the ones he had, Essential Dog Daily.
Essential Dogs. They added some – it gives them just probiotics that they need for everyday life.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get into. I'd rather if you got questions about this, call Nick Mobley.
Yes.
Let him. He knows this stuff inside out.
You go. I think it's on Cajun. They've got online.
They've got some very very good information on those. But there was one of those that he said he's kind of using in the place of not running penicillin. You know, if a dog needs something, like he had a pup got eat up by a coon, and he was using some of that instead of throwing penicillin down that dog. That way, it's getting those natural, so you're not building resistance and stuff in your kennel on some of those meds. So that's some of the stuff that we're going to give a try. I think that'll be some good stuff. What else we got? Anything else? Because I know we got some stories we got to tell. You got two good stories.
Story time.
We're running out of time, so get started.
Yeah, we're running out. So, Johnny, which one of you two want to tell the hostage situation? We'll start with that one, and then we'll finish with the...
Kyle did it.
Yeah, that was so it started out. It was a rough night. Me and my buddy from in Decatur was hunting, and his dog got treed about 900. Rip got struck at about 3/4 mile right-handed, and he fell treed. Well, he called this one place where Rip was at. He called it Meth Holler, and we was over there, and we went over to his dog, got his dog, and he's like, let's just go drive around. You can hear Rip and her just clicking him off. Well, we got his dog, jumped in the truck, and drove around. Well, Rip was treating this dude's backyard. And we got in there. And Rip ain't there. He ain't treeing. The Garmin is showing Rip inside the house. Moving around in the living room. Well, we started getting nervous. I'm like, well, anything could happen. You know, you start thinking the worst things possible. Man's killed your dog or done anything. He's throw the tracking collars in the house. He's got the dog killed or whatever. Well, time moves on. About 35, 40 minutes. Well, we're shying around with thermals and stuff, trying to figure out what to do. Well, finally, I was like, well, we got to get the dog back. So I called the sheriff's department. Well, deputy came over, and they must have seen this. This is a 3.5 hour ordeal. And it was storming, raining. It was rough. And, he had a coon in their yard and big oak tree. I don't know how they got the dog off the tree without a dog lead. Don't ask. I don't know. But anyways, the sheriff's department came, and I guess they must have seen his spotlight or something driving up the road. And about that time, you heard the back door open. Here comes Ripper out the back door. Like, so, what's going on, y'all? Well, the cop came there. He said, you get your dog. I said, he literally just walked out of the house. Well, we put him in there. Rip's acting like he's scared to death. They don't tell him what he's seen in that house. I mean, honestly, it was a rough.
Your meth hollow.
Rough, rough trailer. And I loaded him up and everything. Well, the cop rolls in. He's a coon hunter, too.
Not good for them.
No, he didn't go to the door. He didn't do nothing. He went to the side of the house. Boom, boom, sheriff's department, come to the door. I'm like, man, well, I was like, you got a gun? I'm like, because he ain't got no backup. So, well, anyways, person came to the house, to the door and everything, and they were starting to make this whole sobbing story, blah, blah, blah. He's like, well, the dog was on the porch. He's like, ma'am, it's raining outside. You see my wet boot prints on this porch? Yeah. There ain't no paw prints on this porch. You brung the dog in through the carport where the concrete was. And they asked me if I wanted to press charge and stuff. I was like, well, no, I just got my dog back. And we went on a hunting. So Rip was held hostage for 3.5 hours in a meth house.
Bug eyed.
He may have hit him a lot of. Now, the next night, he was wired up.
That's probably his toenails are gone.
He hit a lot of coke. His teeth going to start falling. Teeth going to start falling out.
Now, which that's a good story, but the best story. We'll finish it on this story. Let's go back to the Winter Classic.
Friday night.
Who's going to tell this story? It's
me
you.
Again. Well, it's your story. It did involve me. So, let me start out by saying we had a good cast. Not the first problem. We was finding each other's coons, congratulating each other. I mean, we ain't had the first problem, having a good time. Everybody's cutting up, and I'm winning this cast pretty hefty. I mean, there's 15 minutes left in this hunt. I'm restruck for 100 through the country. Other man is struck for 75 running.
Okay.
Other man is struck for 50 running. Well, this one man, he ain't struck. We recut the dogs, you know, whatever. We're all restruck in for normal.
So you got 100, 75.
I'm for 100,
75.
One man for 75, one man struck for 50. Okay.
That's important.
That's very important. Well, the man that is struck for 75 treats his dog.
So now 75 is not on the table.
No, he's treated his dog for 125 pending. The man holding 50 treats his dog in.
So 50's tied up.
Yep, for 75. No big deal. Okay. Well, this one man, we was walking. He said, you hear me through there? You hear me through there? I said, everybody stop. I said, I don't hear you, dog. I said, did any of y'all hear him? We all stopped, listen. Didn't hear a dog. All right, we don't hear him. Let's proceed to the tree. Well, we get to this tree, and this is where
there's less than
10 minutes left in this hunt, and I'm 2.5 coons ahead. You know what I mean? I mean.
But the key to this is, 75's to
every strike is taken, but fourth.
75's treed and 50's treed. So this for the listeners, that's the important part.
Everything in this story is common sense. Well, we arrived to their tree. I say handle them. Well, these boys walk off this bank, handle their dogs, whatever. I hear a dog open to the country. I said, buddy, is that your dog through there? He said, yeah, that's him. He said, strike him. I said, got it. 25.
Because that's what's available on paper. Because
he's the fourth dog struck. I said, I hired Johnny carries my card and he writes the scores down. So I repeat it back to Johnny. I said, 25. That dude looks me. Oh, no. I'm struck in for 75. I was real calm. I said, buddy. I said, I'm holding 100. This man right here is for 75. This man right here is holding 50. I said, you're struck in for 75, for a quarter, because everything else is taken. Well, he proceeds to say he struck for 75, whatever, and started cussing, getting pretty riled up, saying a bunch of choice words, saying we're all a bunch of cheaters, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Well, I proceeded, he kept getting hostile, so I scratched him for handling misconduct. I said, there's no reason to be acting like this in a cast. Well, when I done that, I turned around, and next thing I know, I'm getting WWE body slammed by this man. He's got me by my legs, and he wasn't, I don't think he was all there. I mean, in the cast, as far as I don't know what his situation was.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, this dude, like, downed me in this cast over... I mean, this is common sense, you know. He's struck for 25. Obviously, he's a fourth dog struck.
Yeah, because you're already scoring the trees.
We're scoring these trees. You know, we're about to start shine time. And this dude just downs me. And I started hollering. Everybody's looking at him. Well, he finally gets up, whatever, and just walks off. He's gone.
Well, what you should have done, if it had any sense, was when you scoring that tree, just kept his mouth shut. When he cut back again, when he heard his dog bark, he could have got 75. But he was jumping the gun there a little bit.
And I think that's what he was kind of thinking, is he should have had next available. But we was scoring these dogs' trees.
Well, you hadn't even started the score, they're not closed yet.
So they would have had to recut their dogs for 75 to have been available.
Our little internal group, we put a little bit more. We built it up and made it like Johnny was having to save the day.
It spread like wildfire. It went from Michigan to Florida to South Carolina to Oklahoma.
No, but he did get pretty irate to Kathy, said.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He was talking pretty bad to you, cussing.
And I block a lot of that out. You know, I mean, you've got to pick and choose your battles, you know. I mean, there ain't a lot of hunt time left in this hunt. You know, you're winning the cast. You know, just let a lot of things slide, whatever. But it went south quick.
Real quick. But now the thing about it is, everybody went back to Batesville with us.
Yes.
Every other member of the cast wanted to go sign the deposition and do whatever. They wanted to go back to the Master Hound and tell their side of the story.
Because we filled out a disciplinary form. So that was one thing that I did stress when I told anybody this story, is it wasn't just me writing this form.
It was the whole cast.
Everybody in our cast witnessed it, watched what happened, and seen everything. And it was
very unexpected.
It was foolish what happened, because we had a good hunt the whole night. I mean, there was not the first off word said.
No. We probably treated you a little rough with it ourselves.
Well, the guy with the walker dog was a good dog. He took 100 minus.
He took 100 minus and
never said a word.
He took his minus
minutes,
and
six
went
and
on.
A half, 7 minutes was up. He took his 100 minus, went on about his business, and that was it.
I mean, this one man, he treated a slick tree right out of the truck. Pow. Dog sounded good on it. He walked up there. We scored his tree. He said, how y'all voting? We said, minus. He, yes, sir. Took his minus, went on, never said nothing. I mean, we had a good hunt. Find everybody's coons. You know, I mean, cutting up, talking, and
I will say though, for in that situation, you had the best backup, because if I had somebody tackling me in the woods, I would really like it if Johnny was standing behind me too. Johnny or Stacy
was all we could do to hold Johnny back.
And he had Brian.
Because I
and
mean,
you had Brian.
And in all honesty, the main thing is we didn't want to put ourselves in a situation to get barred. Also, you know, because with this podcast and stuff, we wouldn't be able to be on the grounds. And that would really hurt this company major.
Yeah, so Kyle went. We went to a major event, and Kyle's over here.
So I took the whack and just had to sit there and take it like a man, so to not get barred.
Oh me. So
that was. I mean, that was. that was a wild. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. That was.
So you
a
had
wild,
Johnny on your back, which was
the
birdie
buyer. One of the guys that was hunting the black dog, he come up and he said, "What if we'd had a 10-year-old kid on this cast, a 12-year-old kid cast?" He said, "You think he's coming back? Ain't no way." He said, "Jimmy the super fly snooker done come in off the top rope. He said he ain't going to be wanting to wrestle with nobody."
And,
so
that's why I stressed to Alan and Trevor when we talked about it. We just filled the disciplinary form out and everything, and it wasn't like we was arguing the whole cast, you know. And I was like, if I would have been a kid on this cast and sees this dude out of nowhere come off the top rope with a tomahawk elbow, you know. That kid will never enter another hunt in his life. I said, I told him, this ain't going to deter me from hunting another cast. I'm like, because I'm in cast every weekend. I was like, but it would definitely deter a youth the next time he ever wants to go to a hunt.
Yeah, but you had John on your back, and you had Brian with the 30-year retired military.
The whole cast.
He was the whole cast witnessed.
Yeah.
The whole cast witnessed the whole thing, and it was, like I said, it was a very foolish act.
Good job that you didn't get Johnny barred, because it wouldn't have took much more than
so any of those that met Johnny
he held himself, but
it kind of got heated for a moment. A man just jumps on a guy. There was some heated situation.
Yeah, but when you got grizzly bear standing over here saying don't you do it.
well the man stepped back.
Well, I would have too. That man right there was standing beside of me.
When he got off of me, he kind of stepped back like he was going to do it again. And Johnny steps up there, calm as ever, puts his finger in his face, and says, "I wouldn't advise that." I mean, just like in a Schwarzenegger voice, you know. Never did raise his voice, never did lay his hands on him, never did nothing, just looked at him. Put his finger right on his face. He said, "I wouldn't advise that." Well, and the man walks off.
I would have walked off too.
100%.
Well, when I get aggravated or I get mad, and I talk real slow, and my voice gets a lot deeper. And I mean, Kyle ain't my kid or nothing like that, but we've been all over the country for the last 3 years together. And really, I mean, he's the one that poked and prodded me to get back in. If it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't be back in, but anyway, yeah, you can't do that and get back.
No, you gotta take.
No, care and of the thing is, but Johnny wouldn't have stepped up for me if I deserved it.
But what if it, like you said, what if it was a kid guy judging the cast? He done a kid that way, you know?
Oh yeah, and it wasn't like it was a tough judgment call or anything. It was a straight common sense, you know.
This is the scoring system.
You're struck for fourth, buddy. You got 25. And then all heck breaks loose.
I would have liked to have seen it, though.
I'm sure you would have.
It'd have been funny.
Should have had a GoPro.
Hey, you know, the only thing that was worse was when he was up there in Illinois and shot that gun and rip jerked him down up there a couple years ago. It happened about that fast.
It looked about like
the thing about it is, though, I had no way to prepare for it.
You didn't know it was happening.
The last thing I thought on my mind was this man's going to jump me over a 25 strike that he struck for fourth. With 15 minutes left in his cast, and he's a coon and a half, two coons behind. And out of nowhere, I'm getting absolutely downed. And I mean, I've been in some arguments and cast over a lot more money, and nothing like that's ever even came close to happening.
You wouldn't even expect this to even remotely happen like this.
Oh, but speaking of, remember a while back I asked about a GoPro?
Yeah.
Donate one. One of our buddies, Jordan, has offered us a GoPro.
Has he?
We'll strap it on you guys. We've got to keep it where you are.
He told us we could use it. He got one to record with.
You weren't talking about views. You could have got a lot of views.
What's his name, Jason? Jordan?
Huh?
What Jordan?
LeJordan Davis.
I never have worked a day in my life. I had it on camera.
He has offered us a GoPro.
We need one. But I go back to like the incident that time coming back from Blue Team days.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, somebody like it don't have a clue what they're doing. I said, if we'd have pulled over and Johnny gets out of one truck and Stacy gets out of the other truck, it's like, I just made a real bad decision. But yeah, don't you do it. That's what we'll have to keep in our mind now. So
I wouldn't advise that.
Well, man, it's getting late.
Yeah, I think we're good. We'll wrap it up with that story tonight. So we appreciate everybody listening to us. Thank you.
Check out the next one.